All right, church family, it's so good to be here. Good to see you this morning virtually. And I think it's safe to say we are living in unprecedented times. And I had one of our men, probably a couple weeks ago, he talked to me, he said, Pastor Ray said, have we thought through the process of what it's going to be like if we have to do online church only? And he called me and I was actually grilling out on the patio, and I was like, I almost kind of laughed out loud in the sense of, you know, that's not going to ever happen. And here we are 2 weeks later. And so Zach, you called it, and but we're excited to be here this morning. And you know, it's a different thing than I think any person that I've talked to could have even imagined what our nation and what our world is facing today. And as we're experiencing COVID-19, someone said the beginning of last week, we've got the time change, we've got this COVID-19 pandemic, we've got a full moon and Friday the 13th, all in the same week. It's going to be a completely crazy week, and little did we know what this past week would hold for us as a nation and as a world. And it's completely crazy. All day on Thursday, our staff were making plans for having worship here on Sunday, making sure all of our precautions were in place, and we had a whole plan in place. We emailed that out on Thursday. Then everything began to change dramatically as our governor declared a state emergency on Thursday evening, and then I think our president did as well, a national emergency. And you know, when that came out, they talked about we were going to have just the morning service here and basically cancel all the other activities. And when they said that you couldn't have a gathering of more than 100 people, it was honestly a shock. And yet, as we talk about it, you know, the Word of God tells us we're to live by faith. And I heard many people say, just go ahead and meet regardless. And yet, the reality is a church did do that in another country, and they were the cause of the spread of this virus in their city. We want to be good citizens. And folks, God has placed leaders in authority and positions of authority. And as disciples of Christ, we're commanded in Romans 13 to obey those who have the rule over us. And Paul says in verse 3, he says, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And all of us want nothing more than for healing to take place health-wise. And we also want our nation to heal and our world to heal. We're so divided now as a country. And, you know, we're all wanting things to get back to normal, whatever that looks like. And I've often heard it said that's just a setting on the dryer. But you know, if you've been out shopping in the last couple of days, you know there's no toilet paper left in the whole United States. It's all gone. And they were interviewing someone from China, and they were talking about how America can prepare for this whole shutdown. And they said, stop buying toilet paper. And I started laughing. They were like, you know, you're not going to need that much toilet paper, but bottled water is nowhere to be found. Schools are not canceled, and then they're canceled, and people are told, you know, to work from home. Colleges are sending students home and telling them they're going to go to class online. Sports have been canceled everywhere. Disney World has canceled, and people are getting into fights at Sam's Club and Costco. And you know, it's safe to say that you know, due to the media and the use of social media, I believe this has really become an ordeal in the last 72 hours. But I'm thankful that none of this caught our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by surprise. And he was not alarmed. He did not wake up to 42 notifications on his iPhone telling him all of the latest crazy that's happening in our nation and around the world. In fact, as we're going through all of this kind of in real time, God's word gives us some instruction. We're going to be looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1 here in just a moment. But Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I'm so thankful that as a young child, I understood the reality of the gospel was that God loved me. And he loved me so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to pay for my sin and offer me eternal life. And he offered me salvation and hope and peace. And in times of trouble, we don't have to despair. We don't have to fear. In fact, the message this morning is called Faith Over Fear, because I believe that, you know, oftentimes when we see things like this happening in our nation, you know, we're tempted to become fearful. We're tempted to panic. We're tempted to you know, kind of withdraw from society and you know, get worried. And but God offers us that relationship through his son, Jesus Christ. And we don't have to live in fear of tomorrow when we know who holds tomorrow. When we know that Jesus Christ holds the world in the palm of his hand, there's nothing that's caught him by surprise this week. And so as we've gone about this week, you know, many times we go about our daily lives with little care for what others are going through in our world. And maybe this is just an opportunity, and I believe it is, for the church to really step up and start being that light and that salt in our community, and be a beacon of hope, and allow the world to see Christ living in us. And we're not living as those who don't have hope, as Paul says, and we have the truth of the gospel that gives us clarity in times like this. Psalm 121, verse 1 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Wow. Think about that for just a moment. Our help comes from the Creator of the entire universe. And what? So in hopeless times or helpless times, we look to the one who created, the very one who created heaven and earth. And when I hear people talk about the potential of COVID-19 spreading, you know, it could make us fearful. And yet God is telling us, just trust in me. Just trust me fully, because I have a plan and I have a purpose, and we can place our faith and trust. And if you say, Pastor, did you see the stock market this week? Did you see what's happened? Are we going into a recession? Can I say I did? And Jesus saw what was going on. And the reality is he's still sovereign. He's still in control. He's still on his throne. And I couldn't help but think yesterday about Psalm 46:10, when it says, be still and know that I am God. He says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So think for just a moment, what if somehow in all of the crazy that we're experiencing on March 15th, 2020, what if in all of this, God is calling his church to rise up and show the world what true faith in God is all about? We don't have to live in fear. What if God is calling us to allow the world to see God exalted among the nations and over the entire earth? I was thinking this morning as I was getting ready, I was thinking about opportunities I've been privileged to preach around the world. And one particular instance, we were in a country in Asia, and I remember we were ministering in a slum area, and they told us before we got there, they said, you can't be there after dark because of our light colored skin. They said that we were in a very poor area and a kind of a volatile area. And they said, you cannot be there after dark. So we have to get you out of this community and out of this area before dark. Well, there were no windows in the church. In fact, we were kind of meeting under the shadow of darkness. And I remember as we left the church, it was pitch black, it was dark. And the alley around the church was completely filled with people. And they literally threw us into a car and took off. And I remember for a moment feeling that fear and panic of what happens if a mob, you know, attacks us. What happens if, and yet God immediately gave me a peace. He says, I've got this. I've got this completely under control. And I thought about that this morning. He says, I'm going to be exalted among the nations. I'm going to be exalted over all of the earth. And, you know, I thought of another passage yesterday in Joshua 10, when Joshua spoke and said for the sun to stand still. The word of God says it stood still for a period of one day. For 24 hours, the sun did not go down. And it says there's never been a day like it before or since. And God was glorified. His people were blessed, and the nation of Israel got the victory. The Lord fought for Israel. And so you can be encouraged this morning to know there is nothing that has caught our Savior by surprise. And the same God that can make the sun still and give Israel the victory is the same God who parted the Red Sea. And is the same God who allowed God's people to walk through on dry ground. It's the same God who brought fire down before the prophets of Baal and consumed the sacrifice that had been saturated with water with Elijah. It's the same God who was able to, where Christ was able to, feed the 5,000 and with all of the five loaves of bread and two fish. It's the same God who this morning is very much in control and on his throne in 2020. And we can trust him completely. He's sovereign, and he cares about every single one of us. In fact, this morning, I want you to know he loves you. And no matter what your fear is this morning, Jesus Christ loves you, and he has a purpose and a plan for your life. I want us to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And I was planning to preach my message. In fact, I'd already finished the sermon on Nehemiah chapter 9 this morning. And as the week kind of progressed, God really began to do a work in my heart. And I'll just show you, I mean, as a pastor, sometimes you can have all the plans in the world, and yet God begins to redirect your plan. As you're praying, God begins to show you, no, this is what I want, and this is what you need to say today. And so as I'm praying and I'm preparing, you know, God began to stir in my heart. And even late last night, as I was working and trying to get this together, yeah, I believe God has a message for us this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says in verse 7, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear. But he goes on, he says, but of power and love and self-control. I want us to break that down for just the next few minutes as we're, you know, get ready to close. And then we're going to have a time of prayer at the very end. The panic and fear that has descended upon our country in the last 72 hours is not of God. I'm just saying that. It's not of God. God is not the author of confusion, and he does not want us to live our lives in worry or fear. In fact, he wants us to trust him fully. He wants us to depend on him, to lean into him, to look to him, to trust him fully with our lives. And he says he's a very present help in those times of trouble. If the devil can cause you to live in fear and worry, you know he has you exactly where he wants you to be. He has you exactly where he wants you to be, because you'll be discouraged, you'll be defeated, and ultimately he's seeking to destroy you. He knows if you're a child of God, he can't have your soul. But if he can sidetrack you, sideline you, distract you from God's purpose and his plan for your life, that's exactly where he wants us. So he wants the church to fear today. He wants you to fear today, be fearful of the future and what that has. And so if it's discouraging, sometimes you watch what's happening with the stock market, with finances, with people's retirement. The reality, though, is God has that as well. He's got that completely in his control. And if the devil can keep you defeated, you are of zero value to God. You have zero value to God. In fact, you're probably a horrible testimony to faith in God when we go around living in fear, when living in constant worry. Our God defeated death, hell, and the grave. COVID-19 is nothing for him. Can I get an amen? I mean, this is the time to start applauding, church. I mean, there's nothing here that is a mystery to God, and nothing that's too big. God gave us not a spirit of fear. So when you start to fear or worry, rebuke the devil. Say, get behind me, Satan. Not today, Satan. It's not going to happen. Why? Because the devil's trying to discourage you, and he's trying to defeat you. He said, God didn't give me the spirit of fear. But he goes on, he says, fear does not come from God. What he did give us was power, love, and self-control. As we unpack that for the next couple moments, he says power. The Holy Spirit gave us his power. Imagine for just a moment, if you know Christ is your Savior, you have the very power of the Holy Spirit of God every bit as much alive in your life as you could ever experience. You have the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's at work in you, the same power that came upon the early church there in Acts at Pentecost, the same power that raised the dead, the same power that healed the sick. And it's the Greek word there is dunamis. It means mighty works, strength. It means miraculous power. That's the power that the Holy Spirit of God has given to us as his children. So we don't have to be a slave to fear, as the song said earlier. Why? Because we're a child of God. We have a relationship with God. He's given us the power. Same word in Acts 1:8. Just before Christ leaves this earth and ascends into heaven, he uses the word, but you receive power. I'm going to give you the power to become the Son. I'm going to give you to be the witness that I've called you to be. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you. Same exact word. What he's saying is, he says, you're not being called to live this life on your own. You're not having to do this by yourself. What you're doing is you're going to live it through the power of God, who through his Holy Spirit, was he ascended into heaven. He says, I'm going to send that comforter, that helper, that person who's going to give you strength in these very moments of trial and fear. So we don't have to live in fear. God's got the power. He says, look to him, lean on him, trust him. But he also says he gives us power, and he says he gives us love. The word love comes from the word agape, Greek word agape. It means charity, affection, goodwill, benevolence, brotherly love. I cannot think of a better way for the church to impact our city and world through the power of the Holy Spirit, demonstrating brotherly love, demonstrating what true benevolence looks like to our city and our nation and our world. Think about it for just a moment. We're living in such a polarized society. People are so up in arms about everything. In fact, just wait, tomorrow there'll be something else that people are all mad about. And I think with social media, everyone has an opinion on everything. I mean, does anybody else wish we could go back to the days where everyone did share everything that they felt? I mean, the reality is everyone's constantly in a state of uproar and panic. And it seems like people get so upset, but have you considered maybe God is allowing us the opportunity to stop fighting about politics or the election? Stop getting so consumed with our own little world where we're at, and start having a true love for one another. What if God is allowing us this moment of pause to the church to just wake up and say, listen, the thing that's most important is not that you have the biggest and best of all of these various things, that you can offer all of these things in life and it's a place of entertainment. No, what if the church realizes Christ left us here for the purpose of ministering love to one another, to our neighbors, to our city, to our nation, to our world? Matthew 22, Jesus said in verse 37, he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He says, this is the great and first commandment. And the second is likened to it. He says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The problem is, when we don't love God like we should, we'll never love our neighbor like we should. It's really that simple. I mean, when we don't love Christ, you see, because this morning, because we're having an online church, I'll be honest, as a pastor, I don't like this. I'm sitting here with a camera and some staff, a few people around. But the reality is this is my favorite day of the entire week. I love gathering as a church body. And to not be able to do that today is very difficult. In fact, it was a lot of prayer and agonizing and just, you know, going back and forth, talking to our leadership and our church family, but realizing that, you know, this is what God's called us to do this morning. And so we can't worship in that way. But for some people, it's no big deal. I mean, Sunday is just another day of the week, and they'll find a million other things to consume their time with. But what Christ is saying is, when you love God like we ought to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, he says, then as you start to love your neighbor as yourself, what happens is the world sees Christ in us, the hope of glory. They see peace. They see joy. They see contentment. They see a relationship that's not about religion, but it's about knowing God and experiencing that peace that passes all understanding. Can you imagine the impact the church could make if we started to love our city in this way? If we truly cared enough to call the neighbor and say, hey, what can we do to help you? I know you've been under the weather. I know you've been sick. I know you're struggling. What if we made that our mission to begin to love our neighbor as ourselves? Can you imagine the impact we would have on our nation and the world with that type of love? What could it look like? What if you called your neighbor and that doesn't have any family in town, maybe in the apartment complex that you live in, you say, hey, I just wanted to know, I know you don't have any family here, but if I can help, we'd love to bring dinner to you. We'd love to, you know, get together and fellowship on a small setting. Social, everybody's talking about social distancing. Maybe, you know, you sit around a fire pit and just, you know, share some s'mores and talk about what God is doing. You know, it might be the very thing that encourages them. What if you went to an elderly neighbor and you called them and offered to bring them groceries this week and say, hey, can I just pick up some food for you? Or I was out getting some food for my family and I brought you something as well. What if, you know, if you're being at home this week and you are able to work from home, or maybe you're tag teaming with your spouse and you're saying, hey, I'm going to stay home this week and watch the kids and my spouse is going to work. What if you tag team and talk to that neighbor and said, you know, why don't I watch your kids this week? It'll give you some to help consume the time of your kids. But what if you were a blessing to them and allowed them to be able to go to work this week and just encourage them? What if, you know, what if you looked at kids in your neighborhood that maybe don't have as much and they're not in school this week and they're worried about how they're going to feed their kids lunch? What if you picked up a loaf of bread and some peanut butter and jelly and put some groceries, some juice boxes in a bag and set it on their doorstep? And you don't have to get your name out there. You don't have to receive any credit for it, but you just loved on that neighbor and helped them. What if you reached out to that single mom that without her job and her income, she can't afford to keep a roof over their family's head? What if you helped reach out to them and said, we'll watch your kids for these next 2 weeks and make an impact on our community? Jesus saying, it says, I didn't give you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love. And that last phrase he says is self-control. When the entire world is falling apart and losing it, child of God, pull yourself together. We are a child of the Father. And what he's saying is God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Don't lose control. We have every single reason to have hope and peace, even in times of storm. In Psalm 37, verse 25, he says, I have been young and now am old. He says, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. God takes care of us as his children. If you have a need, tell him about it. He's your heavenly Father. He cares. He knows. In fact, he knows the need, the word of God says, even before we do. Even before we call on him, he knows our need. And so we learn to trust him fully. We don't have to live in panic and frenzy. The word self-control means self-discipline or moderation. And that's something that the world does not know. That's something they've never experienced because they don't have the Holy Spirit living in them, giving them self-control. And by everything that happens in this life, he says, every time the wind blows, the world is falling apart. But when you have the Holy Spirit of God empowering you, living within you, you can step forward in peace knowing that, you know, God who created the universe and everything in it can handle the situation that comes our way, even COVID-19. God's got this. And so this is the time, you know, to start applauding. This is the time to start cheering. God's given us hope. He's given a reason. And he says, let's let the world see what that looks like. This is the time to rejoice. David says in Psalm 23, verse 4, he says, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. That is a confidence that if you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you can rest upon that this morning because God, he says, we don't have to fear. He says, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You are my child, and he's given us all of this confidence. It's time to start standing firm in our faith, church. Nothing wavering, allowing the world to see what faith over fear truly looks like. Faith, trust in a God who can. In John 14, verse 27, Jesus said this. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I'm thankful that God has calmed my fears this morning. Because, you know, I'll be honest, there's some times in the last 72 hours, even as a pastor, as a husband, as a father, as a man, I've had those moments of doubt. And I'm not saying, I'm just being honest with you this morning. What does the future hold? How are we going to make it through if we have to shut down for several weeks? And you know what the reality is God has given me a complete peace that he's got this completely under control. The word of God says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to him, what an awesome thing, the power that he gives the church. In verse 22, to stand and be the church this morning. God's given us that opportunity. Let's let the world see what love and peace looks like because of a relationship that we have with God. And this morning, it's not about a religion. So this morning, if you tuned in today and you're thinking, I want to feel good for, you know, having worshiped online. Really, our desire is that you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he offers us forgiveness. He offers us peace. He offers freedom. He offers healing. So no matter where you're coming from this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Word of God says if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This morning, if you'll cry out to God, he will forgive you of your sin. He will save your soul and give you that hope that there's no end. We don't know how long this is going to continue, but with God's help, as a church, we are going to rise up and be the church in our community and point the world to Jesus Christ. I want each one of you to know I love you. I'm praying for you. I've been praying over this service over the last 72 hours that God would use this in your life to encourage you. And it may be something that we have to do this the next few weeks. We don't know what that looks like. Our staff's going to be meeting this week. Our deacons and trustees will be talking about what this process looks like as we go forward. But we're going to trust God completely, and we're going to be faithful where God has placed us and planted us. And as our president called today a national day of prayer, as we conclude our online worship experience today, let's just pause for a few moments and just thank God. Thank God for that he didn't give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us he gave us the opportunity to experience his power and experience his love and experience self-control. And you know, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. What an opportunity for us as a body of Christ to really step up our worship of God. And we'll be talking to you throughout the week, this week, what the next week's going to look like. And it's one of those things that we're going to have to be flexible as a church. And but we covet your prayers on our end. We also want to know if we can help you in any way, please reach out. You can do through social media. You can comment below. We'll try to get in touch with you, but we want to encourage you. And if you know of someone within our own congregation and within our community that needs help, reach out to them and let's do what we can to make that impact on our city and our world. And let's pray that God uses us to make a huge impact in the days ahead. Let's go to Lord in prayer. And as we conclude our time of worship this morning, Heavenly Father, thank you for just the privilege that we have to come out to your house, God. And Lord, I think maybe we've taken that for granted at times. Lord, this morning we're reminded what a privilege that is to live in a country where we have the freedom of worship. And God, may that not be something that we ever take for granted. God, may it be something, though, that the church is not about a building or a location. It's not about four walls. But God, your church is the people. These are those people that you love, that you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for. God, we're so thankful that because of the relationship we have with the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, we don't have to live in fear. Lord, we have the the privilege of knowing you personally and experiencing your power on display. God, we've experienced your love already in receiving the gift of eternal life. But you've called us to share that love with the lost world. And God, to allow them to see, Lord, the hope that is within us. Lord, we're to be sharing that message. God, I pray this morning that as a church, we would not live in fear. God, those who right now are in a state of panic or they're feeling that anxiety, God, we want to encourage them this morning that you are on your throne this morning. And God, you're sovereign, you're holy, you're just. And God, we know that you have a purpose that you're trying to work out in us. And Lord, this pause for these couple weeks or however long it is, maybe the very reset that we need as the Church of Jesus Christ to reset and refocus and revive and rebuild those relationships with you. God, I pray you would do a mighty work in our midst, God. Lord, this morning, help us not to take for granted the privilege we have to be a part of a body of believers. God, help us to reach out to those in our small groups, those that are in our circles, that Lord, those that may be in need. God, help us to reach out to our neighbors, our friends, our family, our coworkers. Lord, maybe those that don't have family or those that are high at risk, the elderly, God, those with young kids. God, I pray that we would do our part in ministering here in our city in such a way that, Lord, the world would see the Church of Jesus Christ as united, faithful, following a God who is more than able to do exceeding abundantly. And God, we're thankful for that. Would we lift up our mayor? We lift up our governor. Lord, we lift up our president, our Congress, our leaders. Lord, those who have decisions that affect our freedoms and, Lord, our ability to function as a people. God, we ask that you would give them wisdom. God, may they seek wisdom, as James tells us, as we call out to God for wisdom. Lord, may they seek wisdom. Lord, may our president seek after you. May you surround each of these people with godly people. And Lord, as Daniel prayed, and Lord, as those leaders throughout the Word of God prayed and sought the heart of God, and Lord, you begin to change the cities, the people, and the nations. God, may our nation return back to you. God, may you bring revival to our church. God, may we bring revival to our city. And God, we are excited and anticipating how you're going to use this for our good and for your glory. God, we love you. We praise you. God, we pray that this thing would come to an end very soon. God, those who have been infected with this virus, God, Lord, that you would spare their lives, restore their health. God, I pray that you'd bring a sense of calmness to our city and our world today. Lord, that we don't have to live in panic and fear, but God, we know that you're on your throne and you're in control. God, do a mighty work in our midst. God, we give you the glory for what you're going to accomplish. In your precious name we pray. Church family, we love you. We're praying for you. If we can help you this way, anytime this week, let us know. If we can reach out, be that hands and feet of Jesus Christ to our city, to our world, and let's pray that God uses us for his glory. Have a great day.